First time done it this way. So this is new for me. Let's see what's going on in this corner. Meeting information. Recording. All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Hey folks, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at, in the US or around the world. Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. This is a show that loves to interview baseball's best coaching minds who love to challenge the status quo, and they are from all over the world. Folks, first, before we start, do us a favor. Go to, the audio is going to be on baseballoutsidethebox.com. Go to the audio part there to listen to it. Should be up by tomorrow. And the video on YouTube, Peter Caliendo. If you can subscribe to both, that really helps us get the show out. I want to thank all our audience. I do it all the time. We have listeners in over 100 countries, so we are thrilled and excited that you're all joining us tonight here in Chicago. We're going to go all the way to my favorite country when it comes to baseball. I know a lot of people are going to get mad at me because I said my favorite, but I have other favorites too, but this is really an unbelievable one. Been there over 30 times. We're heading to Japan, Tokyo, Japan, to visit with Yoshi Akita. And listen, Yoshi's been around. He went all the way to high school in Japan. Then he came here to the States, went to the University of Iowa with the Hawkeyes, and got a strength and conditioning degree there, obviously worked there. Then he joined the Reds in the minor leagues as a strength and conditioning coach. Then he went back to Japan and played. He was with the Rakuten Eagles. He was an interpreter, strength coach, and that's the big leagues, folks, and an international scout for 15 years. So let's not waste any time because Japanese baseball is amazing. It's fantastic. I'm not saying they're perfect, but they're very good at what they do, man, and I love it. And let's talk to Yoshi. Welcome him. How you doing, Yoshi?
Good. Very good. Thanks, Pete. Thanks for having me here.
I believe we're at 9 o'clock in the morning there in Tokyo, right?
It's actually 10 o'clock in the morning. I just dropped off my kid and just came back home. So,
wow. Yeah. Talk about time zones. It's like I'm in the future, I think.
We are in the future. Sorry about that.
Oh, then you could tell me what the lotto numbers are going to be.
Yeah, it's Wednesday morning here, right? But there's nothing I can tell you, I guess. But.
Well, Yoshi, listen, I really appreciate it. I know, you're at home. You're going to be home for another month because of your family. You're with your newborn and everything. That's mm-hmm. understandable. But we're excited because, we're all over on YouTube, Facebook. I talk about Japanese baseball all the time.
Really?
So let's do this. Let's just talk about, you talk a little bit about when you grew up, started playing baseball in Japan, what mm-hmm. it was like for a young kid when you were playing baseball in Japan, kind of the things you did, the practice maybe and all that, games.
Mm-hmm. I'm 39 years old. So when I was a kid, which is like 30, 35 years ago, that time baseball was, it is still, but baseball was actually bigger than, right now. Everybody played the baseballs. When I was really little, all the time played around, just I found a space, I found a place to play baseball, with a softball, it was such a fun time. Decided to join the little league when I was 8 or 9, and then, every weekend, practice or the game, and all the parents came, and then, they cook, lunch for us, that was such a wonderful memory. But, like I said, as the time goes, the space was, smaller and smaller. Right now, it's not the best environment for the kids to play baseball, which needs a lot of spaces, right? So it's, I guess it's a different situation right now, though.
Well, yeah. And everybody, folks, if you haven't been to Japan, let me tell you, mm-hmm. the cleanest country in the world, the most organized country in the world. And they have to be because, I'm just going off the top of my head, but it might be 20 million people in the size of half of California. So when you're in mm-hmm. that demographic, you've got to be very organized. I want to go back to, you're talking about when you're a young kid playing. Space is an issue now, obviously, because Japan's growing more and more. Mm-hmm. What was it like, the practices? Were they really intense? Were they relaxed at the time? How were the coaches? Kind of give us a background in that a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sure that you know Japanese baseball already, right? So, yeah, it's really strict. Actually, you know, the little league when I belonged to was it's not a very good team. You know, that was a really fun team. So it was all the relaxing and then, you know, just the talking, all the jokes, and then you know, coaches were like my dad or like my friends, you know, he was not like my boss or nothing like that. Maybe, but because that is why we were a really bad team, we almost never won the game. But most of the good teams, you know, most of the professional baseball players, when they were kids, they practiced like really strict like Army. So
You know,
that's Japanese World Series.
yeah, and that's the key because, you know, one thing the Japanese do really well, and a lot of Asian countries do very well, and that's practice, practice, and practice. Now, back, let's stay with the young kids still. Y did you play practice on weekends only, play games on weekends only? What was the time that you did that?
When I was a kid, I practice you know, once on the weekday, and then you know, every Saturday and then Sunday, sometime practice, sometime game. And I would say we play 20 to 25 games a year. And then other than that, all the practice. And the thing is, in Japan, once you choose one sport, you don't do anything else. So, you know, like, you know, you guys play football in the summer and then basketball in the winter and then maybe baseball in the spring. We don't do like that. Once you choose baseball, all-time baseball.
See,
So,
Yoshi, there is something I don't know about Japanese baseball. I didn't know
good.
that.
I'm happy to tell you something new.
Yes, I'm sure you're going to tell me more. You know, along with that, what were the practices like? An example, you know, were there two, three coaches? Was it a lot of drills? Was it game situation, combination? What was it?
Lot of drills. Maybe nowadays things are changing. You know, I don't want to pretend like that. I know everything about the Japanese baseball. So more like, please take it like it's about my personal opinion, personal experience. But yeah, it's all about drill. It's all about a practice. Sometimes, you know, when you were a kid, you just trust the coach and you just follow it. You know, there was no YouTube, there's no new information. The coach or dad or the old information, only information you can trust, you know it. So, like, sometimes you'll just apply catch for like almost like an hour, you know, just I know, unless you have to keep throwing good to, you know, somebody else, you know, around right here, you know, around this zone, like a 10 in a row. Otherwise, you have to start over, you know, that kind of stuff, you know, just need us a lot of drills of practice and stuff.
You know, folks, you know, if you didn't know, I'm sure you do because I mentioned a lot on the show. You know, we take a lot of teams to Japan, 13, 14, 15-year-old teams to play around, you know, Tokyo, Osaka. So we've seen a lot of teams. And what Yoshi's talking about, when they play catch, it is incredible. When they take infield, outfield, you don't see many balls dropped. You don't see many balls thrown away. They're very, very good at what they do. Yoshi, if you were to say why Japanese baseball is so good, what would you attribute that to? Why?
You mean
What thing?
Japanese baseball is very good? You mean professional or more like a
Everything, high school, professional. We're going to talk about high school in a minute, but overall, it's pretty good baseball. Why are Japanese players good? What are the reasons, I guess, you know, why they're good, you think?
Yeah, first of all, I don't know if they are really that good. I mean, once you see MLB, yeah, you see some Japanese baseball players, but not many, you know. If you think about how much population, you know, when they were kids to play baseball, that can be more. And then the thing is, I never learned when I was a kid that playing sports, playing baseball is a part of the fun. You know, let's have a fun. I've never heard it. You
Yeah.
know, it's really strict. So, I mean, when you're a kid, if you spend some certain time, of course you're gonna be better. You're gonna be developed. You know, no matter if you like baseball or not, because you work on it, you know, no football, no basketball, just baseball. Yeah. You know, after 2, 3 years, you know, when you compare the, you know, one kid who focus on baseball, only just the baseball, you know, a few years, another kid who plays multiple sports, you know, 10, 15 years later, you never know which one is going to be better. But when you think about it, just only 3 years later, yeah, of course, the kid with, you know, just the visual experience will be better. So I think that's what it is. So
if I was to tell people the reason there's good Japanese players or teams, whether mm-hmm. it be high school, Little League, because look at Little League, they do really well. High school mm-hmm. championships are amazing. Mm-hmm. If I was to say the culture you grew up in, mm-hmm. the discipline, mm-hmm. the love for the game, mm-hmm. would those be three things? And maybe there's more that explains Japanese baseball?
Yeah, I agree with you. And then, yeah, that's actually also another thing. So really, I appreciate, you know, what I learned, you know, about a baseball when I was a kid. I didn't become to be a very good baseball player, but I feel like I have learned so much stuff from the baseball, like a discipline. That's really the big thing, you know, what you needed to be as a person before you are a baseball player, that kind of stuff, you know, so.
What would you say about the respect they have for the game, for the equipment, mm-hmm. for the umpires, you know, whether mm-hmm. it's the fans or the player, they all have respect mm-hmm. for themselves.
Right. And also the baseball field, a mound, a dugout, everything, you know, you think they're a kind of sacred place, you know? So I'm not really saying things are good or bad. Okay. Just I'm saying it's different. Okay. So in Japan, you never spit on the ground. I wouldn't say never, but, at least when you were a kid, you never spit on the ground. You don't chew the gum during the game. I don't know. And then you don't really talk bad to other players, you know, more like, you know, respect each other. And you needed to, maybe you really think it's kind of weird, but when after the game or like after the practice, when you go home, when you leave the field, you bow. You know, you take off your hat, you bow to the ground that thank you very much for, you know, having us practice on the field. You know, using the field, that kind of stuff, you know. So those are, you know, one of those little things I have learned. So
yeah, and those are, see, for us in the U.S., those are big things because, you know, we have players at different levels, not a lot, but, you know, they're going to throw their helmet. Sometimes they swear that, you know, they don't take care of the field. You know, mm-hmm. we're trying to always educate, you know, coaches, mm-hmm. players, and parents, you know, mm-hmm. respect the umpire, respect the field, respect your opponents. Mm-hmm. Now, let's jump, because talk about respect. We're going to jump to high school baseball.
Sure.
And the reason being, because I tell everybody, I've been to Koshian before, but I tell everybody, you know, Japanese baseball is incredible also, and why. And so talk about your time, what it was like being a high school Japanese player. Do they have freshmen, sophomore, juniors, varsity? How do you play on the team? How do you make the all the different rules? Because it's a little different.
Yeah, okay. First of all, in Japan, high school are 3 years. So, like, you know, when it's not about a baseball, it's more like a academy, but you belong to elementary school for 6 years, junior high school 3 years, and high school 3 years. So when you talk about a high school baseball, just, you know, 3 years, and for in the American academy class, it's like from sophomore to senior, right? Those are 3 years. And then you don't really have your own team in the, you know, junior team or like a sophomore team, nothing like that. There's just only one team, you know, just only one, like, I wouldn't say big league, but how do you say, like one top team, and that's about it.
In the U.S., it'd be like a senior team.
Senior team, and that's about it. So when I was freshman or like a sophomore, like a first year in the high school, you don't really do anything. Like, you just see the baseball. You see the, I mean, you know, one was maybe a few players from the same level, same grades, you know, they are really good. So they joined the senior team and they practice in the game and all together. But I was not one of them. So I was just watching the guys practice, play the game, it's a cheer. And then the thing is, I never thought that why I don't have a chance to practice, or why don't I like just you know, be outside of field. I never thought like that. I thought it's just normal. It's just, it is what it is. I never doubt it, but you had to doubt it to be better. Cause of course, you know, if you just watch baseball and if you become better, yeah, that's good, but it's not going to happen. You know, you have to do something, but I have never done anything. without just watching the game and cheering the senior team. So that's why I didn't really become to be baseball player, good baseball player, I guess.
So basically, if you're a sophomore and junior, mm-hmm. Unless you're really good, you don't go up to senior and play.
No.
You don't even practice?
You do. You play catch, maybe all together, but sometimes right before the really important conference, you know, important games, you really don't, after you play catch, you're done. You just help, you know, you just pick up the balls and then, you know, maybe sometimes throw the BP and that's about it.
If we did that in the U.S., we'd only have one team. The rest of the kids would quit and go do something else. That's the difference. In Japan, they have so much respect for the game and honor for the game that they're willing to wait to hope that they can make the senior team. When you make the senior team, you then get your number, I believe, or right? How does that?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the place, but usually between 15 to 20 number, 20 people will be chosen, you know, for the, you know, every competition. So, you know, single digits is the everyday player, and then, you know, couple. So I have never got a single digits on my backs, which means I have never played every day. But that's what it is. I was a catcher. I was a bullpen, like a backup catcher. It's a better way to say the bullpen catcher. So I had a number 12 on my back. So,
but you know, you think about it, like you said, okay, so maybe you didn't play at certain levels, but you know what? Strength coach, you know, international scout, you're with a big league team in Japan. You were in the minors with the Reds. I mean, that's pretty good accomplishment in my books.
Thank you.
Your high school player, I don't want to see if it's changed because I know you watch the major league coaches work with players, but I remember doing a class in Japan, when you told coaches, this is how you do it. Then you say any questions and they don't ask questions because if the coach says, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. Is that still the same in Japan?
Right now, I think it's more different. Students or players, they started to have rights to talk back to coaches right now. But when I was a kid, when I was in high school, no.
Do the coaches, you know, here in the States, the coaches now are starting more and more to ask player questions. Instead of always telling them, they ask questions, how it feels, what do you think, things like that. A little bit, probably happening a little bit in Japan, no?
Yeah, that's true. Not only the kids level, but also the professional level. It's changing right now.
Yeah, the other thing.
I'm sure that you're the one of those who is helping, you know, those coaching and staff. The thing is a lot of information, you know, even like you don't really have to listen to your own coach. You know, you can get any kind of information out of the world everywhere. You know, that's really, you know, really good, a good stream, I guess. So
I want you to tell the folks what Koshian, and I know I give a general description when I say, you know, exactly. But I say, okay, look, it's single elimination. There's 46 teams. It's 2 weeks, four games a day. You know, it's 120 degrees. It's really hot. One field at Koshian, Major League Field, and then only one champion. And it's almost, you know, I mean, kids are crying when they don't win, they collect the dirt. Talk about the experience. Maybe you didn't play in Koshian, but you know about Koshian really well. Tell the people.
Yeah, it's there are so many perspectives to talk about the Koshian. So just to really take it as just one, I will say just, there are two perspectives. I mean, most of the baseball kids in Japan, I mean, they want to play at a Koshian even more than they want to become a professional baseball player. That's really how big it's, maybe a little bit close to, I would say, college basketball, you know. It's kind of similar, but I guess it's even bigger. So really, it didn't really, like you said, come true. But when I was a kid, I really wanted to play in Koshian, you know, for the high school tournament. That was really my big dream. So dream is, sounds good, sounds beautiful, sounds like there are a lot of good stories, but at the same time, you may do too much to be in the dream. Does it make sense for you?
Yes.
Like sometimes you don't really think about like your classes, grades, or sometimes even friendship or family time.
Yeah.
You would contribute everything to play in the Kuxian. So some tragedy that one pitcher throw too much balls. There's in the States, even like when from the little league level, there are many pitch counts, right? There is a pitch count, right? But in Japan, there is no pitch count. So once coach tell the pitcher to pitch in the game, complete the game, throw 9 innings, that's what it is. So I'm sure you have heard, but yeah, there are so many pitchers who threw too much in high school. They became really famous when they were in high school. They got drafted. They started to apply for Pro Bowl, but didn't really play good. That's what happened sometimes. So.
You know, and there has to be a lot of pressure, what are the parents like in Japan when it comes to high school baseball? Do they put pressure on the kids, or is it just depend on the family?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it totally depends on the family, and things are changing right now. But some parents are really giving a lot of pleasures on their kids. So, and all the tournament games are on TV every day. Usually you play 4 games a day, so that's the first game starting at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I wouldn't say everybody, but so many people are watching the games from 9 o'clock in the morning till. Well, 4 or 5 p.m. And then that's really, I would say, really crazy time. So it's like I said, so one from the one perspective, you would say sometimes like, yeah, that's too much baseball. Like sounds like dream is too much. And I mean, sometimes that hurts the baseball players. But at the other perspective, there is a goal for a baseball player, since if you don't have a goal, you don't really work hard. You don't really know what to do, but they know what to do because they have a big goal, big dream to be a player at a Kuxian. So, all the time there's an argument between those two perspectives in Japan. So.
Yeah, and folks, think about that. National television, high school baseball. Then you got the imagine the final game, everybody in Japan watching that game. It's the biggest game in Japan right now. Yoshi, as a strength and conditioning coach, I wanted to ask you about this. Are there some unique things that you guys do in Japan that maybe we don't do here in the US with your Japanese players? When it comes to strength and conditioning or anything like that?
It's strength and conditioning and coaching. There is no right answer, right? There's like no perfect way to work out or to practice or to coach. So there's no perfect answer. So it's kind of hard to say. But I would say in general, just I'm talking about it, in general, Japanese strength and conditioning can be a little bit behind in the States. I mean, that was the reason why I went to the States for college to get a degree out there. But so maybe that's why I wanna believe so, but when I started to work in Japan after I spent 1 year, in the minor league as a strength coach, I kind of got shocked because there's almost no weight lifting. I mean, there was a weight room, there was really small weight room, but nobody was using it. Like since players are like gonna practice too much and then like they run too much, so they don't have any guts left after the practice. They don't have nothing left. So, no energy and they're so hungry and tired and everything. So that time it was a big difference. But things are changing right now though.
What year would you say they started getting into more weightlifting? What year was that roughly?
Roughly,
I mean,
I
10 years.
mean, yeah, when I started to work actually 10 to 15 years ago,
Yeah, they got in, started getting into more weightlifting.
yeah,
Now,
because people started to think that throwing harder is better than just throwing at the right spot. I mean, throwing the right spot is really important too, but you need to throw harder too. Also for the heater, you need to hit, you need to hit deep. So.
Yeah. And just, I want to make it clear for our audience that's not been to Japan or seen Japanese practices, folks, we're not talking about regular practices here, okay? The Japanese really practice. When they put time in, they practice hard. And Yoshi, you could attest to that, right? I mean, you just said practice is not easy. Now I can't go lift because I'm so tired just from the practice. Right? Japanese practice, when it comes to practice, it's grueling. It's hard.
I started to feel like I'm kind of talking bad thing about a Japanese baseball, but so hopefully, like, you know, I love Japanese baseball, and I hope like I would say something more positive. But yeah, 10 to 15 years ago, when I started to work, I was shocked because kids, players started to, you know, work out from like 9 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning, you know, 2-3 hours in the morning, pick up sandwich, rice bowl for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes, really quick lunch. It's really 30 minutes. So that's about it. And after that, I started to practice again up to 3, 4 p.m., sometimes at 5, 6 p.m. So that's like whole day. And then after eating dinner in the hotel, you just, you know, swing the bed after the dinner or something. I was like, that's, wow. I mean, if you're a high school baseball player, then if that is something you want to do, that's good. But that was a Pro Bowl, you know? I was like, wow.
Yeah, that's why I've got some friends who played Japan even in the 70s and 80s, and they said the practices in spring training were incredible, and it was so hard for them. They were not used to that type of training. It's difficult to take an American player and put him into spring training in Japan without preparing him. It's so difficult. Your spring training, you guys have had in the last 2-3 years, is that a couple months?
Yeah, it's every team starts spring training. It has actually started already for this year from the 1st of February. And usually the opening game is the end of March. So, yeah, it's close to 2 months.
So your responsibility when you were the strength and conditioning coach with the team, what was spring training like for you? What did you have to do?
Like I said, 1st of February, that's when the spring training started. And then inter-squad game starts around the 10th or like 12th of February. And then from the end of February, it's going to be kind of real games against the opponent team, you know. So first 10 days are really important time, important period for us to have them ready. So, you know, during the off-season, you know, even they like a workout, they don't really do nothing kind of close to the game. So game preparation, that was the biggest responsibility when I was strength coach. So.
Before the season, do you have a program for them that they go into, a strength and conditioning program?
Yes. So of course it depends on, you know, how old you are, you know, how much a career you have, or like, you know, Japanese player, foreign player, it's all different. So try to individualize, you know, as much as possible. But yeah, off-season program, you know, spring training program, during the in-season program, it's all different. But that's kind of something that you can imagine from the American baseball, American strength and conditioning. So.
Yeah. Now Japan, very big flexibility. The Japanese are always stretching. So talk about why, what's the importance of stretching so much, and can you stretch too much?
I don't know if you have heard, but sometimes stretching too much will lose your speed, will lose your power. So I wouldn't say, you know, being flexible as much as possible is a good thing, but like kind of, it's kind of one of the cultural thing. Once you are, you know, once you start to play baseball, you know, coaches all the time tell you, hey, you know, stretch yourself all the time, you know, after you take a shower, after you take a bath, stretch yourself. And that's kind of common thing to say. So everybody, every little kid, they do stretch. I think that's what it is. You think, you know, stretching is really good thing. So compared to the kids in the States, so.
All right, why would you say, when you look at young Japanese players, the Japanese pitchers have incredible control. What are some of the reasons maybe Japanese pitchers have good control?
That's good question. It's kind of, I think, you know, So, Pete, who was your favorite teacher when you were a kid?
American. Well, one of my the best ones I like is Greg Maddux.
Okay, what was the reason why you liked Maddux?
Because he threw strikes a lot. He can move the ball in and out, up and down, change speeds.
Okay.
And that's why I liked him, because I wanted to see, you know, I wanted to see, he didn't walk many people.
So, and then you wanted to be like him, right?
Yeah.
So you think control is more important than speed, because Maddux was like that, right?
At that time, yes. Obviously, with science and technology and some of the things that are changing, you can see you need velocity, obviously.
Right. Right.
But at the same time, control, when you know how to control the ball in and out, up and down, that automatically changes speeds also. So, you know, it just depends on the pitcher, I guess.
So I guess that is what it is. In Japan, you know, all the media talk about like a good pitcher is a, you know, pitcher with a good control. And then you want to, when you're a kid, you want to become like him. So what do you work on? You know, maybe you want to throw, you know, more strike than you just throw harder. I think that's what it is. You know, Ichiro is such a, I'm sure everybody knows him. And in Japan, it's, he's really big superstar. If you want to become like Ichiro, you know, you want to run fast. You want to have really good contacts, you know, good contacts. Then, I'm not saying good or bad, okay? You know, it's more important than home run. So that is, you know, that's how it works, I think, so.
Yeah, speak about Ichiro, boy, he can run, he can throw, he can hit, he can hit the power if he wants. He could pretty much do it all.
Right now, you know, you, Darvish, he can be the, maybe the, you know, the, I wouldn't say number one, but he has a really good influence on the Japanese baseball right now, because he's such a really good one. And he's throwing really hard, and he has been working out really good. So, and the kids are watching him right now. So, you know, those kind of things are changing the mainstream of baseball, I assume.
Since technology and you know, TV, I mean, we're talking about everything has changed the game in a lot of ways. The Japanese pitchers now, when you were in professional baseball, were they working on trying to throw hard? And what were they doing to try to throw hard? What was their training?
When I was a kid, everybody said, if you want to throw harder, you need to run. But which doesn't really make sense, though. Why, if you, I mean, running is, when I talk about running, that's more like endurance running. It's like long distance running, you know? So, I mean, speed, power, endurance, and then, you know, when you think of a fast twitch muscle, slow twitch muscle, once you learn strength and conditioning, it's really simple. It's really easy to know. No matter how much you can run, it doesn't really deliver to be a pitcher to throw faster, you know? But that's how you learn like 10, 20 years ago. But things are changing now, though. But now, now, like you said, all the technology came in, and then, you know, people started to have more knowledge, and then, you know, certain pitchers' experience, it can be shared with, you know, so many people. So things are changing now. So people started to work out even more, and then, you know, try to figure out what, you know, so TrackMan, and then what else? So people talk about, Lapsoid, and then, you know, it's really easier access right now to on those. So, you know what a spin rate is, you know, the axis of the ball right now. So things are better now.
Matter of fact, I saw when I was in Japan, I saw a baseball that the Japanese invented, which they throw, and that measures everything. You know, velocity, spin rate, measures everything when they throw the ball. So technology is starting to grow. You know, baseball in the U.S. and in Japan has always been traditional. Change came very slow. In Japan, it comes very, very slow. But in the U.S., it came slow. We're starting to change more and more, but it used to be
faster,
very to change. One of the things you see in Japan all the time, now, it's not the most important thing, but the stance in Japan, everybody has the same stance. Is that because what you said, they followed somebody? Was it Sadahara Ho? Who was it? that stance, and everybody uses it.
So thing is just even you wanna change your stance or your mechanics, your coach never allow you to do that. Once coach believe a thing, so all the students, all the players are going to be kind of identical, you know, because that's what a coach wants. But again, you know, more information right now, things are changing. So I expect maybe 5 to 10 years from now on, you know, more variety of stances and mechanics will be seen on TV though.
Folks, I'm going to mention this because I saw it in an article also and asked a lot of people. Why am I impressed with Japanese baseball? I'll tell you why. Because in the U.S., and we have great baseball, Yoshi. We have, you've been to college, your university, you know, University of Iowa. You saw the baseball program there. Many great colleges, many great high schools. We have a lot of good travel teams, you know, so we have some not so good, but we have a lot of good travel teams, and we have, you know, professional baseball, but we also have 26 million amateur players in the U.S. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, Japan in baseball is about 1.1 million to about 1.4 million approximately players in Japan. Mm-hmm. Big difference in numbers. But if you watch the Japanese compete worldwide, now, okay, maybe they're not at the major league level yet as a team, but there's players that can play here. But you watch all the international competitions, Little League World Series, 12U, 15U, 18U, World Baseball Classic, Japan is always at the top, okay? So that they're doing something right. But what I say on the show all the time, as the Japanese get more technology and get more knowledge from the US, look out. Because if you think that they're throwing hard now, when they start throwing even harder with their control, talk about dominating pitching that they're going to have, I think you're going to see more and more. So I think there's even a brighter future for Japanese baseball. It's, you know, as an outsider, that's what I see.
That's thank you for the compliments. thanks for the encouragement. I like that. And then actually I have thought about it before, but you kind of reminded me of thinking like that. So I like that. But I mean, I'm sure it's not only the Japan, but in the States too. But again, like we talked really earlier in the interview that less students, less kids, less number of the kids are playing baseball right now.
Yeah, that's a good point, okay? Because I asked this in Cuba, this question also, they were reducing in Cuba, a lot of kids stopped playing baseball and went to soccer. Why in Japan, why less kids playing baseball? Why do you think? Is it the pressure?
I mean, I mean, that can be one, but I would say there are a few reasons. One of which will be, like I said, less space compared to soccer or the basketball. You need more space, and you need a basketball, and you need a more number of the people. So that is, I'm sure, one of the reasons. And then before, in Japan, there is only sometimes just baseball was there, and baseball can be the only sports you can watch on TV. But right now you can watch multiple sports. And then, you know, when you talk about a soccer, there are many professional soccer player playing, not only in Japan, but also on the outside of Japan. And they're really playing good, playing really, you know, world top level. So you want to become, if you're a kid, you want to become like those kind of guys. So, you know, there are more choices. That's maybe the best way to say.
Oh, good point. So, kids, yeah. You know, kids are kids. You know, they're gonna, maybe they see something they like, they might want to do something else. It's no different in the U.S. Also, we have so many sports. Kids have more options here. You know, one of the things that we think is very important here in the States is that is at the young levels, it's important to have very good coaching, because we also have moms and dads who coach at the young levels, just like Japan, right?
Yeah,
so we have parents, and it's important that the parents are educated. I want to jump to Major League Baseball, okay? And we'll finish with Major League Baseball there, because it's another amazing level. Just mention to the people listening about Major League Baseball competition. When you go to a Major League Baseball game in Japan, what does that look like?
Look like? What do you mean?
What's the stadium look like? What's the during the game? What are the fans doing during the game?
Okay.
Phones? Are they, watching the ball game? What's going on?
Yeah. Currently, because of COVID, changing everything. But I'm just talking about it before COVID. When you go to the Japanese baseball field, that's like a Japanese big karaoke box. Everybody singing that at every hitter, not every hitter, but everyday hitter. Everyday player, usually they have their own song. So all the fans know what song needed to be sung for each player. So everybody sing together. Once your favorite team score, everybody was like really, wow, all the cheers, all the, shout and yell, and it's so crazy. And then, people are kind of sharing all the pleasure and the fun all together. So it's really a fun place to go. So it's really more noisy than the American baseball, I would say.
Yeah, and the fans are cheering for their team. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard Japanese people boo at all. I don't think they boo at games or anything like that.
Not really boo. We don't really have that kind of culture, not only about a baseball, just I'm talking like in general, we don't really have the culture to say boo. So
right. That's good. Yeah. Keep the culture. That's important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Now you're around batting practice. What's Japanese batting practice before a game look like?
Okay. First of all, each professional baseball team has its own professional batting pitcher. In the States, people who throw are their coaches. So sometimes we're 60 some years old, really old coach. And I'm not saying too bad, just throw a nice and easy ball, but it never happened in Japan. Usually they used to be professional baseball pitchers. Once they retire, club ask them to be a staff, to be a batting pitcher. So their job is to throw ball to hitter during the practice. That's their job. They do sometimes like something else too, but their main jobs are just throwing the baseball to the hitter and not like trying to throw the strike. Not trying to get a swing and a miss, or not like trying to get out, more like have a hitter hit. That's their job. It's so such a big change when they were a player though. But anyway, even before the game, practice more like intense, and then more like people more like kind of focus on it. So, and usually people practice with the two cages.
Yeah.
So there are like kind of two batting pitchers out there. So one pitcher throw, and then, hit a hit, and then another batting pitcher throw. That's how it works.
Yeah, and you see they sometimes have a station where they're bunting, another station where they do soft toss or drill, and unique drills too, that they're always working, always.
Yeah, always something's going on. So really you need to be careful if you are just shagging the outside. Sometimes ball comes from this way and that way, and the outfield coach or the hitting fan goes. So started to work for the Japanese baseball team, really I didn't really want to be on the field during the game, because really I was scared. You never know really where the ball came. So
all right, Yoshi, and you may know this, I don't know, but I'm going to ask the question.
Okay.
In Japan, players are going to make mistakes, they're going to fail. It's a game where you fail. But you don't see them get mad, at least not out in front on the field. They always keep their cool, their composure. Why is that? Do they mentally train to do that? Do you have an idea about that? Is maybe the culture again?
Yeah. Once I say culture, that's kind of too easy for me to say, and yeah, that's like
broad.
I feel like a
but are they not allowed to get mad? Like you like
yeah, maybe, kind no. of same thing. You kind of same thing. You know, since when you were little, you know, you are not really allowed to you know talk bad, or you're not really allowed to spit or drink. Right. I'm kind of same thing. You know,
makes sense. Because
yeah, once you do bad, that's your fault. That's nobody's fault. And then. Yeah, you can, sometimes you can see that, you know, you show the emotion. Of course, when you get hit by pigeons, that's a different story. But when you don't do good, if you express emotion, if you're really mad and if you're going to throw the helmet, that looks like, it doesn't look cool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no.
And you don't want to be looked like that. You don't want to act like that, because sometimes people think that's you're showing your weak-mindedness comes.
Yeah.
If you have like a, you know, weak-mindedness, you know, you'd act like that.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Absolutely. Makes a lot of sense. And what I love about it, and remember, I agree with you, the Japanese are not perfect. I remember early on, sometimes with young kids, they would put a little bit too much pressure on young kids. But the good thing, everything we just spoke about, they start when they're young. Because if you're not disciplined when you're young, if you're not able to mentally deal with failure when you're young, you're not going to do it when you're older. It's going to take you longer. Right. That's what I love about the Japanese. As a scout, this is where we're going to finish the show with the scouting part. At the major league level, give an idea for an American player or Cuban or whoever, but I know mostly Americans you scout. What type of player can play in Japan? Because everybody wants to play in Japan, right? If they can't play in the US, but not everybody can play in Japan. Well, so what type of player can play there?
Okay. First of all, let's talk about a hitter, right? When you compare to American, you know, baseball and a Japanese baseball, the biggest difference in the hitters wise is power. You know, in general, our bodies are smaller, and then, you know, swing speed is slower. So usually what we look for the foreign hitters is the power. So we don't really care about they run fast or like, you know, they can defensively, they are really good. Of course, if they can run faster and defensively better, it's good, but they're not really expected that much. So usually what Japanese baseball look for, like DH or first base, kind of power hitter type, you know. Those kind of player are most of the hitters you can see from the States or from the foreign countries.
Pitchers.
When you talk about a pitcher, also power, you don't really see many pitchers throw a lot of, once you throw, like you know, when you see the MLB, you know, almost everybody throws a 95 at least, right? Or like if you see setup right close to 98, 99, but you don't see that, you know? Otani is not a basic Japanese baseball player. He is special. I mean, that's why he is good in the States too. So he's big too. Yeah. So once you throw 95, it's really, really fast. I think average speed, the difference between the American pitcher and the Japanese baseball will be, I think, a 3-4 miles difference, you know? So if you're a starter and if you average, so if you throw like a 90, for the starter, that's a little bit faster than usual, I guess, you know, which is, I'm sure, slower in the States, you know. So if you throw harder, you know, that's a really big compliment here. And also, most of the Japanese pitchers, when they throw fastball, they're four-seam fastball. You don't see many two-seam fastball because, again, also when you're a kid, you're tall, like, all right, when you throw a ball, you know, that you needed to have a good spin rate, and the ball comes up like that. And then if the ball moves a lot, hey, you know, that's not a pitch. That's not the way you want to throw, you know? So it's totally different.
But
so
now,
once you bring
major leagues, they're throwing, now they're changing, right? They're throwing two seam fastball in the major leagues.
Japan? A little bit different. Yeah. A little bit different right now.
Yeah. Before they were throwing only four seam, but now they're also throwing two seam.
Throw two seam, but, even though you don't throw that very good two seam, that works better in Japan, I have to say.
Yeah.
Kind of same thing. You know, if you think about it in the States, maybe if you have a full seam type fastball, like a high full seam, that works good in the States right now, right? Because not many pitchers throw a lot of the full seam compared to Japanese. So you want to throw something different. You want to throw something you have never seen for hitter, right? So once you, many foreign pitchers, when they do success, they have really good two-seam. Sometimes that those, you know, two-seam can be just average in the States, but they are really good in Japan, so.
Yeah. Yoshi, last question.
Okay.
If a player comes to, and I'm assuming, I should say, most of the players that play in Japan either come from AAA or the major leagues normally, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. So my question is, when a player comes to Japan nowadays,
mm-hmm.
what do they need to prepare for that's different? You know, because they may not be used to it.
Nowadays, I want to talk about on the field and then off the field, yeah. both ways, right? Perfect. So on the field, I would say, so spring training is such an important time because even though like now you have access to watch Japanese baseball and then you can see a little bit, you can learn something even before they come to Japan, but still there are so many differences. So you have to come to Japan and experience the spring training. If you're a pitcher, throw a lot of innings, not a lot of it, but throw some innings. And if you're a hitter, you know, get some at bats, then you will see the difference. And then you wanna get adjusted, you know? So experiencing spring training, that's really, really big factor to be success.
Yeah, and prepare them for what spring training
is like. Yeah, yeah. Or like, you don't have to be prepared 100% during the spring training, but at least at some level. So you still may struggle a little bit in the beginning of the season, but as the time goes, they needed to be better. They needed to be adjusted. So
in Japan, one day in spring training could be all day.
But sometimes a foreign player, they don't have to practice. They don't have to work out. It's kind of depends on the team. It depends on the manager, GM. But at least Rakuten Eagles, we never do the same program for the foreign players. Gotcha. To the with the same thing with the Japanese players. So,
what about you've seen Mr. Baseball, the movie?
Yeah, of course.
I've seen it maybe 5 times. I love it. How realistic is the movie?
Okay, so you said you watched that movie for 5 times, right?
5 times easily, yeah.
So that do you know who is the model for that main character? Okay, that was Mr. Hoshino. Do you know about him?
You know, sure. Yeah, I didn't know. Okay. I didn't know it was Mr. Hoshino.
Yes, it was Mr. Hoshino, and then he was manager for Rakuten Eagles from 2011 to 2014. And in those 4 years, I was big league strength coach. Ah. So part of it is real. I would say everything is real, but a part of it is real. And then that's actually a good point. Usually I tell foreign players that hey, before you come to Japan, watch Mr. Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you can learn something, you know.
Before we take a team to the U.S., young kids, we have them watch Mr.
Baseball. Mr. Real.
Oshino-san, did he speak English?
Yeah, at least he can communicate with people, yeah.
Yeah, because remember in the movie, he pretend he did not speak English. Uh-huh.
Right. He did sometimes when he was with the Eagles too. You know, I'm sure he understood what a foreign player said, but sometimes he acted like he didn't know. Yes. Because that's kind of part of it, is he was respecting a player. He didn't want to misunderstood. He didn't want to misunderstand what a player said. And also he was a treating interpreter, because almost each foreign player has its own interpreter, you know?
Yes.
So try to respect everybody. That's why sometimes he pretended he didn't understand.
Very interesting. Love to hear that. You know, and you mentioned also, because you wanted to say off the field for a player.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, off the field. Yeah, like I said, there are so many differences. So I usually don't want to hear that when a foreign player came to Japan, they said it's weird or it's strange or something like that. I wanted them to say it's different, you know, because it is what it is.
Yep.
No matter what they think, it is Japanese baseball, so you have to take it, you know. So you needed to be flexible. You needed to have an attitude to learn something new. to be success in Japan, I would say. And then almost every foreign player who does success here, they have really good communication skill. They build a good relationship with the place of Japanese players, coaches, staff, interpreter, and everybody.
That's fantastic. And by the way, when you mentioned the four-seam fastball, a memory came back. I was with Emoto-san, who was a former big league pitcher, governor of one of the regions. We were on the same coaching staff. We took a team from Japan, an all-star team, 28-year-old, 25s, to spring training with the White Sox. And one day, Emoto-san and Oya-san managed also in the big leagues. He was one of the coaches. And they left, had to go somewhere. So I ran practice. And practice was very easy because you just tell the Japanese players, you do this, you do this, you do this, and they just do it. And, you know, it's very, very comforting because they really listen. But the interesting part, I asked a pitcher that was doing work, young pitcher, 21 years old. I said, you throw four-seam fastball? He said, yes. I go, what about two-seam fastball? He said, no, we cannot throw two-seam fastball like you told me, you know. So I show him the grip of the two-seam. He was walking the field, you know, doing exercise. He always had that in his hand, the ball. It's almost like he did not want to forget that grip because he was not allowed to throw it yet because he didn't have good control. I think that's when you said that reminded me of that story.
I see. Yeah, that's kind of typical story. I hear that, which is kind of sad story. If you don't have good location, actually, you needed to have two seamer, right? Yeah. But again, like I feel like I kind of talk about all the bad thing about a Japanese baseball today, but that's the way.
What you think, why Japanese baseball is good now?
I mean, I wanted to say I love Japanese baseball, and then really baseball is something, you know, which brought me to over here. I have such a happy life, and because of the baseball, you know, I have learned so many things through the baseball. I have so many friends through the baseball, you know, those guys who play together with me in Little League, high school, we still, you know, sometimes get together and talk, and they're such a good friends. And then, I believe that Japanese baseball is not only just that you can learn, you can to be a bit good baseball player, but also as a human being, as a person, you know, just you wanna act better, you wanna be a better person, you know, through the Japanese baseball, I believe so. So right now with the COVID, it's pretty hard to come to Japan. Pete, I'm sure for you never know when you're gonna come to Japan next time. But even though you're not a baseball fan, once you have the chance to come to Japan, I really want you to, have a step into the Japanese baseball field. Doesn't have to be Pro Bowl, college, high school, Little League, doesn't matter. And then to see what the players do. And then, that's what I hope so.
Yoshi, thank you, man. And hopefully I get a chance to come there soon. I love coming there. I want to thank you and hope that you will be back in professional baseball in Japan very soon.
Yeah, I will be. And then, Pete, thank you really for having me here. Haven't spoken English for a while, so I hope that you understand what I say. But hope someday that I will get you really physically meet you. So
perfect. Yoshi, you did a great job. Hang tight. I'm going to close the show. Don't go anywhere. You did a fantastic job. I understood everything you said, so I'm sure our audience did too.
Thank you.
Special thank you, especially to Yoshi Akita from Japan, former Rakuten Eagles interpreter, strength coach, and international scout. 15 years doing that. Went to the University of Iowa also. Hey, listen, folks, thanks to Yoshi. Thanks to Brian Crock, our producer with the Lineup Media Group. And thank you to everyone in the U.S. and around the world for supporting the show. Thanks again. Don't forget, go subscribe to the show. We got some great ones. And remember, stay healthy. And you know how to do that. There's a lot of ways to do it. Drink a lot of water, exercise, take your vitamins, you know, watch what you eat, sleep, do a lot of great stuff, because that's your health is your number one thing. And then after that, be safe. God bless you. And we'll see you on the next show.